Cater.
This is Betty Trunell with another oral history in the series sponsored by the Decatur Public Library. Our guest today is Mr. Leslie Allen, City Manager for the City of Decatur. Well, Mr. Allen, your retirement has recently been announced after 16 years of service. Well, when do you plan to retire?
Well, I hope to retire the end of August of this year, 1988. I have notified the council about, gave them 6 months' notice, so they'd have plenty of time to recruit a replacement. But I expect to complete my service with Decatur, City of Decatur, by the end of August.
Mm-hmm. Well, 16 years is a long time for a city manager to serve, I believe. Longer than average, certainly. What kept you in Decatur for all that time? Your staying here testifies to your success.
Well, I've been very fortunate that the citizens have been willing to tolerate me for 16 years. My wife and I have enjoyed Decatur. We both of us have lived here longer than any place we ever lived in our life. My father was a construction foreman, and we moved quite frequently when I was young. My wife grew up on a farm, but her father died when she was 14, and they moved to the city. So this has been home to us. We've enjoyed Decatur. Our children live in this area. I've had opportunities to go to other cities, but we had programs going. I wanted to see those programs and projects completed, and after a while, it seems like you get so involved in the job and you see things happening, you hate to give up and move on. And I've been fortunate to have good councilmen and mayors and a real good city staff, and I think that's what makes our organization go, and it's made my job a lot easier to have staff members and council members and citizens who give me the support I've needed to help get things accomplished. It's really a team effort involving the elective officials, the citizens, and the city staff. And so evidently we've been doing some things right, or we wouldn't have been here this long. But we've enjoyed it. It's been a real challenge. And I guess the thing I enjoy the most is seeing programs and projects completed. Normally, managers stay about 5 years in the community and move on, and you don't get to see the results of some of the planning you've done and some of the projects you've proposed.
Well, it certainly was mutual. The city of Decatur reciprocates in thinking that you were very fine in the job, too. But let's talk now a little bit about your life before you came here. Where were you born? Where did you grow up?
Well, I was born in southern Oklahoma. My family was from Oklahoma. They originally were from Texas, and they moved to Oklahoma in the early part of the 20th century. And my wife's home is in Oklahoma, too. She grew up in Oklahoma. I was born in a small town called Durant, Oklahoma, in the southern part of the state. My dad was in construction, and we did quite a bit of traveling. It seems to me we lived in most towns in Oklahoma. And that was during the Depression. Times were hard, so you had to kind of keep on the move to make a living. And we also lived in a number of cities in Texas. And my father had asthma, so he was looking for a different climate. We then moved from Texas to New Mexico, and he worked there for a while. My father was an electrician, and most of the time his career had spent in construction. Then later on, we moved to Phoenix, Arizona in about 1937, I guess it was. And Phoenix at that time was a small city of about 50,000. And air conditioning was relatively new, and my father got into the air conditioning business and was doing quite well. And then he passed away. So and my mother was in bad health, so I ended up, my brother and I, going to live with my grandparents on my father's side in southern Oklahoma. My grandfather had just retired as a Methodist minister, so I lived with my grandfather and grandmother until I graduated from high school.
Then you continued your education after that?
Yeah, I finished up my high school. In fact, I actually left high school when I enlisted in the service in 1944 when I was 16 years of age. Mm-hmm. And they didn't call me up until I was 17, which was in August of 1944. So I didn't complete high school. I went into the service. But fortunately, and I'm not sure why, I was awarded my high school diploma. So when I did get out of the service, I got home in 1946, and I was still kind of restless, so I re-enlisted in the Army and went to Japan and spent a year and a half in Japan with the 11th Airborne Division. And I was a
Were you married then, Mr.?
No, I didn't get married until I was about 26 years of age. After I got back from my second hitch in the service and I got discharged in December of 47, I started school at the University of Oklahoma and went to school about 2 years. The Korean War came along and I re-enlisted in the Korean War, or re-enlisted in the Army and went and was shipped to Korea immediately. And I was in Korea about 3 or 4 months and I got injured or wounded in action, and so I ended up in the hospital for a while. And eventually I spent about 12 months in Korea and was shipped home and then spent quite a bit of time in the hospital and was eventually given a medical discharge in 52. And after I got out of the service, I started back at the University of Oklahoma. And I was still single at that time, and I met my wife on a blind date, more or less. She was, at that time, she'd been out of nursing school just, I think, a couple of years. She's a graduate nurse, and she was living in Oklahoma City working for a doctor at that time. And we met in Oklahoma City. And, of course, the University of Oklahoma is located in Norman, which is only a short distance from Oklahoma City. So we started dating, and while she was working for a doctor and I was in my junior year at University of Oklahoma, majoring in political science. We got married late, or I guess it was Labor Day weekend in 1953. After I finished the spring semester at University of Oklahoma, I went down to Lake Jackson, Texas, where I had worked before off and on in the summer months for Dow Chemical Company, and I worked there, and I had decided to work for a while and earn a little money before I went back to school. And anyway, I came home on Labor Day weekend to Oklahoma, my wife's hometown's El Reno. We got married there and started back to Lake Jackson, Texas, which is south of Houston on the coast. And we lived in Lake Jackson 2 months, and I got laid off, and I thought, well, I just will go back to school. So we went back to Oklahoma, and she got a job, and I enrolled in the University of Oklahoma. And I stayed in school until I finished my undergraduate work in political science, and I was fortunate enough to receive a graduate assistantship, and I majored in government in the area of city and state administration, and I got my master's degree spring of 1956.
So when did your family arrive, your children?
Well, my youngest son was, Les, was born in 1954. We'd been married about 12 months, and I was, I think, a senior in college, and Les was born, was a baby. And so he was with us while I was a senior, as well as while I was in graduate school. And as soon as I finished graduate school at the University of Oklahoma, the first job I got was with the Kansas Department of Administration, and we moved to Kansas, Topeka, Kansas. And our youngest son was born a year later in 1957 in Topeka. And that's where I really started my career, is working for the state of Oklahoma, I mean, state of Kansas. I was a budget management analyst, but I was primarily interested in city government, even though I got my start in state government.
Well, what drew you to the field of city management?
Well, when I was in college, I didn't really know what I wanted to do when I first started, like most college freshmen. And fortunately, being a veteran, I was entitled to some counseling services, so I went over and took some tests, and the tests revealed that I would probably excel in the area of social sciences and rather than in math or something like that, or engineering. And I had kind of got interested in political science because, having spent quite a few years in southern Oklahoma, which is known as Little Dixie, I remember as a kid, I think they used to point out the only character in town we had was a Republican.
Oh.
And everybody pointed this fellow out. So it was a heavily Democratic area, and some of my friends were involved in politics. So I kind of got interested in political science. I didn't really know what I wanted to do when I got into the undergraduate school. And then I got involved in some political activities on the campus through a political science fraternity that I belonged to. About after I came home from the Korean War, the Democratic County Chairman in my county in southern Oklahoma approached me about running for the legislature, and I said, well, you know, I haven't completed my education, and I know very little about, you know, politics in Oklahoma. But he said, well, there's a lot of young men in the legislature, and at that time the salary was so small that you couldn't afford to serve in the legislature unless you had a full-time job or some type of compensation. And I think the only reason he asked me to run is because I had received some publicity about being honored in Korea, and I think he wanted me to run on my war record, which I didn't think was proper for a politician. But anyway, that kind of stimulated my interest. And after I finished my undergraduate degree, I had got primarily interested in city administration, was fortunate to get a graduate assistantship in the Department of Political Science, and I got interested in all of my studies and some of the work I had done with state legislature and state and city administration, and I was particularly intrigued with the city management profession. It was relatively new then. Although city managers have been around a long time in this country and other country, the city council manager form of government really has became prominent in this country after World War II. But I looked for a job as an intern in a city, and of course, having a family, I couldn't afford to take an internship which paid maybe $100 to $110 a month, so I looked for something better, and I ended up getting this job at the state, I think, for $375, which sounded like a lot of money then. But I worked for the state for about a year and a half, and then I had a chance to go with the League of Kansas Municipalities, which is a state association representing all the cities in the state of Kansas. And I worked there as an assistant to the director for a couple of years. And of course, I worked very closely with city councils and city managers, and they gave me an opportunity to have sort of inside track on jobs that came available. And I was contacted by a small city in Kansas about being their manager, and I was interviewed and selected for the job, and spent 6 years there and really enjoyed it. Small city, about 3,000. A city called Waumego, Kansas. It's an Indian name. Most people have trouble spelling it. I'm not even sure if I can remember. Waumego, Kansas. And then from there I went to Newton, Kansas, spent 6 years, and then went to Kentucky, Bowling Green, Kentucky, for 4 years as manager. And of course, I've been here about 16, so I really got interested in politics and city administration in college. And then my opportunity of working with the League of Kansas Municipalities gave me a chance to get better acquainted with the city management profession. That's really the way I got into the profession.
Well, could you give us a very brief idea of the essential points, parts of a city manager's job?
The city manager really is the chief operating officer for the city government. I often use this example that the city council is really the board of directors for the city, which is a municipal corporation. The mayor is the chairman of the board, and they in turn hire a city manager, and I'm their chief operating officer.
You're the executive officer.
Yes, and I report to the entire council, of course, and then I'm in charge of the day-to-day operations of city government. All the 9 department directors report to the city manager, and then, of course, I in turn report to the city council, and I'm responsible for making recommendations to council, keeping the council informed, working with all the various city departments, overseeing the planning, the budgeting, and reporting not only to the council but to the citizens too, and working with different citizens advisory groups that we work with. But I'm sort of like maybe a plant manager. I have to take care of the day-to-day operations. And the council's major responsibility is setting policy and overseeing the performance of the manager and the organization.
Well, good. You mentioned that you stayed around to see how some of your projects turned out. What were some of the most difficult problems you faced during your term?
Well, one of the first problems I ran into when I first took this position was the city at that time did not have an affirmative action program for minorities and women, and that was a requirement to receive any federal funds, and the city of Decatur had not received any federal funds since the Greenwood Urban Renewal Project was completed in the late 60s. So there had been a period of at least 4 years or better when the city was not eligible for any federal funding. At that time, the city was trying to get the Torrance Park Urban Renewal Project underway, doing some clearing and rehabilitation out in the east central part of the city. So the first thing I encountered was meetings with the Department of Housing and Urban Affairs staff, telling me that unless we got an affirmative action plan adopted, that this project would not go ahead, or any other federally funded projects in Decatur. And so therefore I started working on an affirmative action plan immediately, and had some difficulties getting it approved by council. There was some opposition to the whole concept of affirmative action. I think at that time we employed something like 3% of our employees were minorities. We had women, but most of them were in clerical or secretarial positions. Only one was in a position of any authority, being a division head. But it took me nearly a year to get the council to finally approve a plan. And like I say, there was some strong oppositions to that. But once we got the plan approved, then we were able to proceed with the Torrance Park project and all the problems we had associated with that project, relocating people and getting houses rehabilitated and getting streets rebuilt and things like that. And also, we immediately became eligible for a lot of federal funding. At that time, there was a lot of federal money available for cities, whereas today the federal funds are just about dried up. There's very little federal money coming into local communities. That was one of the first encounters I had, a major problem. I also took the opportunity to go out and visit with some of our major industries, and two things they brought to my attention that really concerned them was some of the bad flooding and drainage problems we had in Decatur, and also their concern about the Staley Viaduct. And Of course, I think the replacement of the Staley Viaduct has been studied and considered for at least the last 30 or 38 years, to my knowledge. I've seen at least three different studies, and they were concerned about the conditions of that viaduct. So fortunately, we were able to get a comprehensive drainage program underway, and to date, with local funds, mainly funds for bond issues, federal money and state money, we've spent about $35 million on drainage and flood control. We've still got about three projects to finish up. We should get those finished this year or next year. And most of the major flooding in this community should be over. Also, I was concerned about the strengthening our organization. At that time, the city was having trouble recruiting qualified personnel because most everybody in Decatur were employed in this 1972. Very few people were without a job. If they were without a job, they probably weren't looking for a job. And so I started immediately trying to strengthen our organization, and it was difficult to do because we were competing with Caterpillar and Staley's for employees. Also, I needed to build a personnel system. It was pretty weak, and that was one of my first priorities. And I was also concerned about some other systems we had, our finance system and our computer system, and needed really to be upgraded. And our facilities were in terrible shape. The city of Decatur's had a history of using old run-down facilities to house city government, and we started some planning then. It's taken us a long time to do it, but one of the real crying needs at that time was housing our employees in decent facilities. And of course, today and by the end of this calendar year, 1988, the library's in a nice facility. We've got our civic center where we have most of our administrative offices, our public works and water departments, and central garage will be in a new facility this fall out on North Jasper. Our police will be moving into the new joint city-county law enforcement jail facility. So we're going to And where you have a new transit building planned, a new office building and garage for our transit system, commonly known as our bus system. So it's taken me about 16 years, but it looks like we're going to have most of our people and our departments housed in decent facilities at the end of this year.
Fine. And these are very fine facilities. For example, the Civic Center, the place where the mayor and council rooms, mm-hmm. and city manager's offices are, theater, and so on.
Well, we were real fortunate. You know, when I first came here, we had a number of businessmen talking about building a convention center, but no one had any idea how to finance it, and I didn't really think a convention center would go over in Decatur and compete with Chicago and Springfield and some others. So what we really started talking eventually about a community facility. And the Civic Center concept really is a community facility, not a big convention facility. And fortunately, we were able to get the state legislation changed. That legislation, where the state helped finance the McCormick Center in Chicago, we got it amended. So the city of Decatur became eligible for funding under the Civic Center Act, and we started the planning of the Civic Center. And eventually, that whole complex was built, and the state of Illinois paid 75% of that cost out of receipts from parimutuel betting. The other 25% of that $15 million project was paid with federal funds. So the day we moved into the Civic Center nearly 8 years ago, it was paid, no local taxes levied. And I think it's been a great facility for the community. Not only does it house, you know, our city offices and our the nice theater and the multi-purpose arena, and I think it's been great. It had some criticism in the beginning because of the deficit, but I don't know of any public facility other than the water department that pays its own way. The library and nothing else does. So I've been very proud of that project. I think it's been great for the community.
Well, you have had some great satisfactions then out of many of these. They may have started as problems, but you turned them around into assets for the city.
Well, I think that's the interesting thing about being a city manager. You are in a position to have some influence on meeting community challenges and hopefully influencing the direction that the community will go in meeting these challenges. And that's probably been the most rewarding part of this job, is being able to stay here and see some of these things happen.
Right. And you have had a very recent accomplishment, I understand, with the water treatment plant.
Well, the new water treatment plant is one of those ideal projects where everything has gone together just right, usually on a major project. And that's the largest public works project the city of Decatur has ever undertaken. That project was close to a $36 million project. We started planning for that about 5 or 6 years ago, when we hired a large, well-qualified firm, Black & Veatch, to look at our water system, not only supply, but treatment and distribution. And the first thing that came out of that report was that we had to do something to expand water treatment in this community, plus get rid of an antiquated facility that was built in 1917 that was had difficulty meeting state and federal standards for water quality. But anyway, we got the project designed. We were very fortunate to get a very innovative financing mechanism where we didn't issue fixed rate bonds. We actually issued variable bonds that are traded on the market like commercial paper. And the interest rate on those bonds has been under 5%, where the average rate for fixed rate bonds has probably been 7.5 or 8. So we've saved about $2 million a year. Plus, the bids on the project came way under engineer's estimate. When this project's completed, in fact, this week we're actually making water down there, and we expect as soon as we finish testing the plant to have it in production in the next couple of months. But when the project's over, we're going to end up with a surplus of about $6 million, which we can use to pay off bonds. And our experience has been so good that with the water fund, that actually we'll be able to pay those bonds off in 12 years rather than 30.
Well, great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, now, you couldn't have done all this by yourself. I understand you have a staff of about 500 employees. That's a large number of people to deal with. Do you have any pointers for dealing with a staff that large?
Well, of course, on a day-to-day basis, I mainly work with the staff in the executive department, being the assistant city manager and administrative secretary and our risk management division people, and primarily, too, with the department directors. But it is a big organization. The city of Decatur covers over 40 square miles, and it takes a lot of equipment and personnel to maintain it. Anything in an area this large, but we've been fortunate. One thing I think I'm real proud of, I've seen a great improvement in our organization. We've got a stronger organization. We've got better qualified employees today. I'm pleased to note that our affirmative action plan has been successful. Today we have over 10% of our employees are minorities. We have minorities in supervisors and management positions. We've also been able to work with our recruit women who are not only doing laborers work, but they're attorneys and engineers. We've got 4 division heads that are women. We have 1 assistant department head. So I've been very pleased to see our organization grow, get better qualified people in the organization, as well as make opportunities available for women and minorities. And we've got a better organization because we've done these things. And when you've got qualified people, it's a lot easier to supervise and to manage an organization. When you've got people you can depend on that'll get the job done, and you don't have to worry all the time about whether this or that will get done or accomplished. And we've been fortunate to have some good department heads. Regrettably, we've lost a number of our top people the last couple of years. Some of our old-timers have been here for a long time, like Hilmer Landholt, our corporation counsel, and Frank Lambert, our director of central services, and Charlie Churches, our director of community development. They all 3 passed away in the last couple of years. We've lost one assistant police chief and one assistant fire chief to cancer in the last couple of years, and we'll have probably another couple of department heads retiring here in the next year or so. So the new manager is going to have a real challenge because he's going to have to appoint some new management people, and we've got some good young people on board, but it's going to be a real challenge to him because he's not going to have the people that I was fortunate to have when I came here.
Well, let's hope he can find someone as good and continue your work. Well, you've had very high praise from the people you've worked with. I'm going to read some of the descriptions that have been given. You've been described as fair, someone who gets the job done, high quality, hardworking, very candid individual, resists undue pressure, a professional. Well, now, remarks like that must be very gratifying.
Well, it certainly has. I think the one thing that I've enjoyed and appreciated since I gave my resignation to the city council is I have had some real nice phone calls and conversations with individuals. I'm very appreciative of the nice things that have been said. We've tried to serve all the community, every area in the city, regardless of their income or their social status. We've tried to treat everybody fairly, and I think it's evident by the investments we've made in this community. We have tried to treat the low-income areas the same as we have the high-income areas, and the people of Decatur have been very good to me. You know, we've really had very few problems with the public, and most citizens have been great. That's one thing I will remember is the kind of cooperation we've had from the public. And it does make you feel good to hear these things say. And after you, this is my 30th year as a manager, and this is my 30th year as a city manager, my 37th year of public service, and it really is great to go out or end your public service career with the kind things that the public has said. Fortunately, I've had no negative comments yet. I'm sure there's some people out there that feel we didn't get the job done, but most of the people who've talked to me have been very kind.
Well, it is really retiring with honor. What are your plans for the future?
Well, I'll be 61 and I retire from the city. I'd like to work a few more years, either part-time or full-time. I've been fortunate to be able to work ever since I've been 10 years of age. I think the first job I had was shining shoes. Young people today probably don't remember the shoe shine boys that used to go around with the little box and shine shoes, but that's the first job I had trying to make a little money was shining shoes. So I've always been busy and involved not only in my job, but in Boy Scouts and other community activities in my church. So I'd like to keep busy and because I just, I enjoy playing golf and doing a few other things, but I've got to do something. I think I'd go nuts, you know, sitting around the house all day piddling. So I have been talking to some different organizations. I would like maybe if I could teach part-time or do a little consulting work and help other communities if I could. But we do intend to stay in Decatur. My youngest son, his family lives here, and my oldest son, his family live in Bloomington. So this is home to us.
Good.
And we love Decatur, or we wouldn't have been here, stayed here for 16 years.
Well, it's good news that you are going to stay in Decatur, and we hope we'll see you around and that you will be able to contribute in the form of maybe not a regular paid job, or perhaps it might be, but at any rate, we will look forward to your association continued with Decatur. What are your expectations for the city of Decatur for the future?
Well, you know, I think we're seeing things turn around. Decatur went through some difficult times with some of our major manufacturing firms laying people off, a number of them closing down. We've experienced the same thing as other large industrial communities in the last 5 or 6 years. But we're bouncing back. We're seeing some new industries come to town. We're seeing some expansion. We're seeing a lot of commercial development going on. I feel very confident Decatur's going to bounce back. Decatur's been down before, but they've always come back. The economy's going to be different here. The good old days are gone. We're not going to see a lot of smokestack industries. We'll be fortunate to keep the industries we have, like Caterpillar and Firestone and Stadies and ADM. They're going to be in business here because they're doing the things that's necessary to make a profit. We're going to see more service industry jobs. Hopefully we can attract more white-collar jobs with companies like Federal Kemper or Insurance Company locating here, and maybe some other corporate headquarters. So I expect not only Decatur, but see the whole Midwest bounce back like New England did recently. And New England went through 10 or 20 years of difficult times when their industry shut down, and now they're bouncing back. And I see the Midwest doing the same thing. And Decatur's in good shape to progress because our infrastructure, the buzzword today for public improvements, it's going to be in great shape. We're going to be in position not only to take care of our citizens, but our industry and any new industry. With all the construction being done by the Sanitary District, over $120 million, the new law enforcement building, the Richmond Community College building, all the street construction underway, the Staley Viaduct, this community is going to be in great shape to take care of the public and growth in the future.
Well, you make it sound very exciting, and I hope your predictions come true.
Thank you.
Best wishes on your coming retirement, Mr. Allen, and thank you very much for sharing your experiences with us.
Thank you. It's been very enjoyable.
Good. You have been listening to the reminiscences of Mr. Leslie Allen, City Manager for the City of Decatur. And this is Betty Turnell speaking for the Decatur Public Library. We are recording in the Public Library on May 3rd, 1988.